Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a View from the Bridge official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 10th of January, 2023. My name is Patrick Smith. We're live. We are on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and you can also download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor FM, and all your normal podcast providers. On this week's show, well, the Giants progressed to the semi-final of the Challenge Cup once more and took 4 points off the Dundee Stars, but neither of those things were straightforward. We'll get to the game. Get the game shortly. Player of the month for December was Peyton Jones, and he is our guest. Get your questions in if you're watching live. We'll have a bit of news. We'll talk about the new face in the locker room, and the games ahead are the Nottingham Panthers. Now, we asked Omar Pasha to come and join us, but he was too busy.
Former friend of the show.
Because of that, I am placing Omar Pasha officially on the banned list. We've asked him a couple of times now. He's not officially on the banned list. And if he wants to appeal that, he can contact me directly. We're not amused.
Happen live on the show?
Well, that's a consideration. Mr. McGimsey, how are you?
Not too bad, Patrick. Thank you very much. It's been a good start to the new year for the Giants, certainly. Glad to be back at this again.
What do you think of Pash blanking us again?
I'm going to text him now and tell him it's outrageous.
I agree. Just fishing in the
bad. It's just a bad loser. It just smacks a bad loser. It came on with the one.
I explained, you'll come on tonight. And Jody says, I can do tomorrow. That's no good news.
He knows that
as well. It's live tonight.
He knows that.
Ridiculous. Jolie, how are you doing? Dartboard?
Yeah, good, mate. Yeah,
I've got to get the dartboard in the back.
Got to get the stupid purchases in before I'm financially committed for the next 18 years. Had a really, really good time watching the World Championships this year. And
I was going to say, inspired by that nine dart leg.
Honestly.
I'm just thinking about placement here. It's not the Mercy wall on the other side of that wall, is it?
No, you see, Davey, I've thought this through. That's an exterior wall. That's an exterior wall. So that's going outside the house. Like,
what's the ring for? Is that just a light?
That's for whenever I blow darts into my wall, mate. and then the black ring is an LED light, yeah, so that I can see the holes in the wall whenever I blow the darts into them.
Okay.
So yeah.
So keep it. We're going to be watching Joel Neal at the Ali Pally next.
If anybody wants to start a darts team with me, let me know. We'll have six shirts. Real deal. Nicknames.
The real deal. Joel Neal. He's going to shirt on. He's ready to go. Lads, let's get stuck in. The Belfast Giants, first of all, undertook some Challenge Cup action. They were one goal down going into this game against the Nottingham Panthers last Wednesday. But they triumphed with a 5-2 victory in the game. That's 5-2 victory in the game and a 7-5 victory overall. But as I said earlier on, none of this is straightforward. The Nottingham Panthers raced to a 2-0 lead in the game, which was a 3-goal lead on aggregate, Sorensen and Brady. But they were the only two goals they scored on a major penalty to Puffer, which we'll no doubt discuss later in the show. Scott Conway got a power play goal. And then Kieran Long, Goody, Hookie, and Davy Gilbert rounded out the scoring. With regards to goalkeepers, Jackson Whistle, 23 shots on, two went past them. And Alex Debeau, 35 shots on, five goals against your refs, Randy Dalton and David Good.
Excellent.
That's not going to catch, is it? It's not going to catch. Davy, penalties galore in the opening period, but the Giants, they put the Giants on the back foot with three goals back on aggregate, but they had to fight back from it, and they did.
Yeah, we definitely started with not the ideal start you'd want. You're a goal down, and of course you want to get the first goal in the game to bring the tie back to level, but wasn't to be. We got into a bit of penalty trouble, and Panthers used that to their advantage. I think through the first, commentary says, might even mention through the first 12, 14 minutes of the game, I think it was like 12, 13 shots to two for the Panthers. They got themselves a couple of goals and looked to have kind of tilted the tie. But from the real crucial point, I suppose, was the major penalty against the Panthers and the Giants being able to go on an extended power play and getting that goal just before the period break was crucial. And then, like, the Giants tilted the ice the rest of the game. I think the Panthers had six shots through the last 40 minutes of the game. It was Belfast Giants just all the way. You could take all three games the same. We put ourselves behind the eight ball. We left ourselves with a bit of a hill to climb. We showed the resilience. We showed a bit of character. We came back in all three games to win all three. And I think Adam Keefe might have said it in his post-match on Sunday night. You can only, and he said it a couple of weeks ago as well, you can only do it so long. You can only keep being resilient. We're a team that looked tired on Sunday night, as he said, and there's been a lot of hockey, three games in just over 4 days. It was tough. And you know, I see people saying on the internet about how many imports we have registered this season, how many we have in the books at the minute. We're still playing short, guys. You know, Sunday night, Gabe Bass didn't play, and Niles didn't play there. They talk about Besko, he obviously isn't playing yet. So, you know, we have had that bit of adversity as well and came through it all. So good to see us in the semi-final cup. Some absolutely brilliant players, some great goals in that Panthers game as well. And it's always good to beat the Panthers, isn't it?
Let's hope for more of that. Joel, as we said, you know, the Giants going two goals down. The swing came initially on that major penalty against Puffer, and the fact that Scott Conway was able to get the goal on that, and that gave a sort of a beginning to what was just basically us taking control.
I don't know if you could call it prep, but I hastily scribble a couple of thoughts down just to jog my memory for whenever we're on the show. And that was literally the one story that the whole atmosphere, the whole atmosphere inside that building changed whenever Puffer hit Cullen over at the benches. It's, you know, it's a midweek game, so it's tough even for supporters. You know, most people don't have that sort of liquid courage that they maybe take before a big game. It's not the same sort of atmosphere and whatever else. And going kind of that extra little bit down at the start of the game, the building was pretty flat. And it sometimes needs something like that. You know, it was, and I'm sure we will talk about it at length later on. It was a horrible hit that wasn't, I think, appropriately punished, but it certainly galvanized the whole building. And I don't just mean on the ice, that the feeling in the stands was tangibly different as soon as that had happened and Puffer had been shown the door. The whole building began to rally. Then obviously I've talked about it a number of times this year, because Scott Conway hitting that power play goal in the 18th minute heading into the period break with kind of that little bit of spark of hope. We talked about key moments to score big goals. That's a massive, in terms of the narrative of that game, massive turning point with the major penalty, spark of a goal that then sees the crowd through into the second period. And my goodness, we knocked the bag out of them that second period. The Giants just had a flawless 20 minutes. The one thing, possibly actually one of the nicest overall goals in terms of start to finish that I've seen this season. I think it was Niles played this game, right? Didn't it? It was yes. Niles that forced a turnover in the neutral zone, found Derek Angeli on the left hand side. He dropped the pass back to Kieran Long for, I think, the made it 2-2 on the night. I'm not sure what on aggregate. But we scored a couple of goals like that were sort of full line contributions over the course of the weekend. And it's lovely to see that scoring coming from many more places other than the obvious ones. But yeah, look, that was a fun night to be a Giants fan. Real lovely feeling. And we absolutely charged the Panthers and second in the cup for another year.
Oh, David.
Just the one point at the very start of the second period when we were 2-1 down, and I think it was on the highlights there, there's a breakaway and a massive save. Keeps us at 2-1, and we're able to go then and build off that big momentum. That, as Joel eloquently put there. The big hit from Puffer changed the dynamic of it. Then the power play goal from Scott Conway to sort of tilt the axis back in our direction. Big save from the goaltender lets us go and have that, as you say, almost flawless second period to come up with some big goals and just turn the tie in our favour.
Quite a bit of, how do you say this professionally, whinging from Alex Debeau in cases where I assume he felt there was goalie interference going on, but nothing doing, Davey.
You know, let the refs ref it. If there's goalie interference, they'll call it. If it's, you know, you see a lot of times, I've seen it in the NHL this week, I've seen it in the IHL quite a lot. D-man pushing goalies into, or D-man pushing forwards, or D-man into their own goaltenders isn't goaltender interference, and you can cry about it all you want. So I didn't see too much wrong.
It's also not goalie interference when the goaltender is charging out of his crease into the action.
Well, that's the thing. There's like, quite a few times where he was actually outside of the blue paint, and then he's making contact, going down and looking at the referee, saying, well, "Now, don't get me started." I could go back to the conversation I had with the now banned Omar Pasha, which is the regards to the disagreement we had over the idea of goalies being fair game if they leave the blue paint. But we'll not get into that. But Joel, like you've said yourself, you know, as a marker going forward, within the Challenge Cup and, you know, going into the game against the Dundee Stars, just the performance and the Giants having come back into it was remarkable.
The intangibles of sport in general, not just hockey, are much bigger than people, I think, give them credit for. You can maybe sometimes be guilty of looking too hard into the X's and O's and sort of the play on the night, but momentum is a hell of a thing. And once the ice starts tilting, you can ride that. And especially in hockey, when the games come so thick and fast, you know, you maybe draw parallels with football and other sports where you have a big win and you have to wait the whole week and prep and whatever else. You're just immediately on to the next all the time. And it sort of gives you that ability to ride your momentum through a number of games. And the Giants have been doing that for, you know, well over a month now. I can barely remember what it felt like to be looking at ourselves in the lower mid-table going, goodness, how do we get this back?
The semi-final dates are against the Guildford Flames. Let's ignore the nonsense from their social media. 18th of January away from home and 25th of January at home, both Wednesday nights consecutive. So next Wednesday and the Wednesday after. And then, and if we get through that, of course, we're top seed still, and we'll see how it goes when it comes to the final, should we make it. The highlights from that game are, as you can see, from our friends at Giants TV, and we move on. The Belfast Giants returned to league action just on the Friday that followed to take on, guess who? The Dundee Stars.
Jeff Mason's Dundee Stars.
Another 5-2 game, and another game where the Belfast Giants went two goals down in the first period before they started to score. Eriksson and Dryden Dow scoring on the power play made it 2-0 to the Dundee Stars. And then the Giants woke up, and boy, did they wake up. Stephen Ari with a fantastic finish. And I want to come back to that goal because I thought even David Goodwin's play to make that goal was brilliant. Derek and Jelly with a second. Lewis Hook with the game-winning goal. Stephen Ari with another fantastic goal, this time on the power play. And Will Cullen, a great performance from him, and an empty netter to make it 5-2. Peyton Jones in nets, 21 shots against, 2 goals against. Anton Svensson on the other side, 44 shots on, 4 goals against. Chris Wells and Andy Dalton were your referees. Joel, 2 goals down again in the opening period before we woke up.
Almost seemed to need adversity for the Giants to kick into gear this season. You almost need the stakes to be against you, or at least it seems that way. You know, how many times this year have I'd love to actually see that as a stat. If only we had a stat guy on the podcast to see how many times that we've actually been scored on first and won. It feels like it's every game. Another extremely entertaining game, another character turnaround, and I really do think 2 days down the line from that Challenge Cup turnover, maybe if this game was placed in that pre-Christmas period, whenever the Giants just weren't firing, weren't sort of as galvanized in front of goal, didn't have the depth of scoring that they currently do, maybe that's a game where we let it get away from us whenever we go that 2-0 down. Also, Lewis Hook, the comeback, the return of Lewis Hook is so much fun to watch. He had an absolutely monstrous weekend yet again, a game winner here. And then obviously we'll go on to talk about the OT winner the next night. Dig up the tapes, Patrick. I'm pretty sure very early in Lewis Hook's career. I talked about him being still has the potential to go on and be as impactful as like Craig Peacock, who came to us as a kid from Peterborough, and then in 11-12. I know he never.
I'm not digging up the tapes, but let's just say you did.
Yeah, probably don't actually. I probably never said it. That he could be as impactful as that kind of brick core that we had, and Craig Peacock firing along with Rob Dowd. And I'm seeing it now. Lewis Hook still has more to give. Absolutely awesome. But yeah, look, Davey is much better in terms of the read of the game at this than me. But the momentum carried us through that game. And I think earlier in the season, we maybe don't win that.
Davey, what I got from this as well, and I think I put on to our WhatsApp or something in regards to the way that the Giants played, is if we've woken up and we were playing with a style and finesse, and the scoring was fantastic.
That's a great goal there that you're seeing from Steve Aurier. And I think it's Tyler Biscarani. He's probably in commentary, and he says, but Spence would probably want that one back. He's tight to his post, and he shouldn't really be beat up either. But to go off what Joel was saying about Lewis, scored the game, not the game-winning goal, but the tie-clinching goal against the Panthers, game-winning goal against Dundee at home, game-winning goal against Dundee away. So quite a three-peat in a row there for Hickey, so good for him. But again, the momentum thing, we put ourselves behind, you know, behind again, two goals behind from little mental mistakes and overcommitting at times, and we had to come then from behind, and to come from two goals behind. And you know what, Paddy, we talked about it on the night. Dundee kept us really outside. Like, this was a season high in terms of work rate. This was a season high for us at home for hits. It was a season high at home for us for block shots. You know, we had to work hard to get back into this game and go on to win it. Dundee Stars, even from that little clip that's going on as we speak, keep us perimeter very well. And we had to do so much work down the half wall, so much work around in the corners, so much work. We didn't get that many. I think you'd said on Saturday night, we're not getting any great A's here really worth talking about. You know, we had to really... And that goes into what Adam Keith then says about Sunday night, about it being tired. We had to work so hard on Saturday night to, I know it ended up with a 5-2 win or whatever, but, you know, and the score seems a lot more lopsided than perhaps the performance was. Hard work. And sometimes when you work really hard, you get your results. And that, there again, Peyton Jones coming up with a monster save when called upon. Player of the month will come on to Peyton, obviously, when he comes on the show later on. But big key saves at key times from both goaltenders, to be fair, on Sunday night. Wes had a couple of, and especially in overtime, which we'll come on to, massive save in overtime. So, you know, everybody's doing their little bit of job. But my goodness, it was a hard work performance on Saturday night, which goes into the why the guys were so tired come the end of Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. And just I want to pick up, like you point out, the Steve Arie's second goal. Steve Arie's first goal comes from David Goodwin picking up the puck up in the center circle, and as quick as a flash, turning the defense into attack with a quick turn, and then a lovely pass out to Ari, who finishes beautifully. And just that was just the key and a kicker into the game, and that style and finesse that the Giants were playing with as that game went on. Derek Angeli with a lovely finish and a lovely bit of a dancing. Is that so what good. That is?
Is that what that YouTube comment was there? Absolutely phenomenal, Sally.
You talk about, we talk about the penalty kill and the style of penalty kill, and even just the style, the general style of defense and offense that we play, where we play that sort of suffocating all in everybody to the speed at which Goody identifies that we're losing the puck and returns to center ice and picks off a loose pass. It's not even a loose pass, it's because Goody's worked so hard to be the first man back in defense, picks it off, and then he's able to feed Steve Aurie, who I don't know what wizardry it was to go around the D-man, but and pop it up top shelf. But that hard work again, this to reiterate the theme for me from Saturday night was the work that guys put in, even at 2-0 down. We're never beat. That's the resilience that we've shown over the last sort of 6-7 weeks has been outstanding.
Absolutely right. We'll move on. It was testing the final exchanges of that game, and we'll bring that into the discussion for the next one, because, well, the highlights of that one obviously are from our friends at Giants TV. And we'll move on to the next game, where we went back over to the DIA to face the Stars back at their barn, and it was another win for your Belfast Giants.
That's pretty, isn't it?
Don't worry, Paddy. Just you keep doing the show.
What did I miss, gents? What did I miss?
Me trying to have a drink, but just terribly.
Oh, well done, mate. Well done.
Get you stupid.
A 3-2 win in overtime for your Belfast Giants. Dundee opening the scoring. Verrier made it 1-0 for them. Will Cullen made it 1-1 and 43. And the Dundee Stars thought they'd won the game at 55-55 when Bariga made it 2-1. But 2 minutes later, Stephen Ari made it 2-2 and brought us into overtime. And Lewis Hook with his third goal of the week and his second game-winning goal against the Stars in overtime to make it 3-2. Jackson Whistle on goal this time, 36 shots on, two went past him. Anton Svensson on the other side, 39 shots on, three went past him. Refs were Chris Wells. No, that's not right. Refs weren't Chris Wells and Andy Dalton because they won. There were two referees that I haven't written down in the
email. It was Toby Craig and Graham Roger.
There you go.
Boy, Davey. Clutch.
Well done. And Davey, we'll come to you. Once again, the Belfast Giants go 1-0 down. We're struggling to get the openers.
Yeah, and there's no rhyme or reason for it either, because it's not like, I don't believe that we're particularly coming out slower or anything. It's just to say, if for anybody that hasn't seen this, we came on to do the puck drop. And as we go on to talk about the game, he, Dryden Dye goes to hand him the puck and he drops the gloves with him, which was quite an amusing moment for the young lad. And well received, I think, by everybody. The Giants, again, we came up with a little bit of a slow start and we had the battle back in this game. My goodness, it took the, I think it was, as you say, 43 or 44 minutes. And mentioned in commentary by Big Dave Sweeten that the Giants put so many high-skilled players together, so many good rushes together. Like, we dominated the ozone there, that it took a bit of a, you know, it is nothing short of a fluke. Will Cullen dumps it in. Yep. Svensson has, if you see the angle from behind the goal, Svensson's tracking the puck to the corner to see where it lands, and it takes a stick, and it's on him before he gets in. I'm sure Peyton Jones will have a wee word about that. Just the difficulty. You know, the goalie, he hasn't made a mistake there. He's done what he's supposed to do. He's tracking the puck, and it's gone in the rafters and got lost. So Giants go to 1-1. And then, as you say, when we went 2-1 down, it was, oh dear, this is... But the second equaliser for me is all Scott Conway. I know David Goodwin, Mark Cooper, etc. worked really hard to get the puck back. But Cons goes in there with his head up the whole way and makes two D-men overcommit and just slides it through the blue paint. Steve Ari, yes, of course, has to be on the end of the score, but it's all by Cons. And just before that, there'd been a little bit of an altercation between Reinhardt and Ben Lake. And yep. Reinhardt was chirping. They were going at, and... You know, Scott Conway loves, you know, to give it back. Yeah. He gave it back. As soon as he scored, you watch when the replay comes on, he gives it back heaps. And as he skates past the Stars bench, he's giving the older, sorry, can't hear you, boys. Can't hear you.
So
you know, you love him. There's the dump in there. If you just watch Svensson, he just takes a wee look to see where it goes and bang, it's in front of him. So it's unlucky sometimes. Good to be lucky, lucky to be good. You know, the more you practice, the better you get. All this, you know, the Giants kept going and, you know, that was just a cross ice dump to, you know, try and set up zone position. But, you know, you take those things and you go with them. The overtime winner comes from a big save. Actually, the go-ahead goal for the Dundee Stars, and I'd be interested to get, again, opinion from Peyton on it. It's actually a bit of a poor shot from Songe, which rather than kicking it clear and, you know, with no pace on it, Jackson almost puts it back out in front. And so, I can't remember who scores for them. But sometimes it's easier to make a save from a good shot than it is from a bad shot. And unfortunately for Jackson, that one rebound goes out in front. They get ahead. But the third goal for us is off a great save from Whistle in overtime. And we're able to go 1-2-1-2 up the ice with Steve Ari and Hoogie. And Hoogie, as you say, the third game winner in three games. So good for him. There's a Conway one now. Yeah, love him. Love to see it. Resilient. exactly the same as the other two games. Resilient. We showed a character. But we can't keep doing it.
We can't, Joe. And I think that's the thing. We need to be coming out from the start, all guns blazing.
Yeah, I know we've got our player of the month waiting in the wings here, so I don't have a great deal more to add to what was fantastic analysis there. All I'll say is that at the end of the season, you don't look at the table as a whole and look back on all the pretty wins that you had. Sometimes you need to win greasy. And to be honest, there's a certain part of me excuse me, that almost nearly enjoys winning greasy more than winning pretty. It's a great feeling to come back from a road trip, knowing that you've just ground one out. Those are the games that make the difference when it's all said and done. And my goodness, it doesn't get much more greasy than that game on Saturday. It wasn't pretty, boys. I don't think you'd sell a lot of DVDs of it, but the resolve and the resilience of this team all throughout the week showed in spades during that game on Saturday. And a superb week from the Belfast Giants.
There's an interview on this video, Davey.
In about 5 seconds.
Oh, yep,
Stars TV with the highlights, of course. We'll have a word in just a second.
A game that was for a neutral, but you've won with the 2 points in overtime. What's your reaction?
Well, I think it was gutsy to come back like that. We're obviously a fatigued group right now. Was certainly not our best game. Our execution was poor. I didn't hate our effort, but we looked like a fatigued, tired team out there. And, you know, they gutted that one out as ugly as it was. We got the job done. I got to credit them for that. We got to get some rest right now. Obviously, Jackson came up big there for us and gave us a chance to win that game. Now we got to get some rest and get ready, and we got to get back to playing solid hockey.
Is this a case of one of these games you've walked out with the 2 points in your plight to chase that title at the end of the season, and when you might look back at it at that time and think, well, that was a huge 2 points?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's going to be times when we're not our best, and tonight was one of them, and they found a way to get it done, but it's not going to be sustainable in the long run, so we certainly need to clean up our game.
Yeah, next up, Nottingham Panthers for you as well, and I presume you'll be expecting a better performance from your side.
Yeah, well, I mean, first and foremost, this is their third game in 4 nights, so I'm not oblivious to that. I understand that we're a tired group right now, and we look like it tonight. So it's important to get some rest here and get ready for a big weekend versus Nottingham.
That's great. Thanks.
Cheers, guys.
Big thanks to our friends at Dundee Stars TV for that. So there are the three games, and we're going to shoot on now with the Player of the Month briefly. We're going to just bring up the statistics from the Player of the Month. Give me a second. There it is.
Nice.
667 votes. 37.6% of it went to number 33. Peyton Jones, thanks to everybody who voted. Thanks to Phonocaf for sponsoring the award. And please welcome back to A View from the Bridge, your Player of the Month for December. Peyton Jones, how are you doing?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, nobody.
Yeah, doing really well. Congratulations on lifting the A View from the Bridge Player of the Month award for December. You had a great month.
Yeah, good month for me. Good month for the team. You know, we're like you guys said, the game on Saturday wasn't pretty, but it's nice that we're able to go in there and get a win at the end of the day. You know, not every game is going to be the perfect game. For a team, and it's good to see that we're able to, like Kiefer said, a tired group. We had 3 games in 4 nights. We're able to go in there and get a win, so that was huge. And I think that we've had some kind of gutty wins in the past couple of weeks, but at the end of the day, wins are wins. They don't ask how. So
it is one of the way of it where we're having these sort of 3 games in 4 nights, and that's going to be continuing the next couple of weeks. How do you prepare yourself for those games?
I think everyone prepares differently. For me personally, I'm a big rest and recovery guy, and I kind of get myself ready leading up to the weekend and the games, to make sure I'm getting my sleep, my nutrition, all that stuff, that my body feels right. They say when the games are coming, you are putting that strain on your body, that you are rested up prior to that, and you're able to take that strain, I guess, and then get rest that night and get ready for the next game that you have. But for me, definitely, it's kind of just preparing before, a couple days before, to make sure that my body and that I'm feeling good.
Peyton, it was a little bit of baptism by fire in the Giants. You came in, it was straight into CHL against some real high quality opposition, and seeing they've settled really well now in through December. Some really, really good numbers, strong numbers. We were talking last week about the new equipment arriving, and has that been as much psychological as anything, or is that a massive factor in the different style of equipment that you had?
No, it's not. It's just equipment. I mean, I switched from Vaughn to True, just because True is a stiffer pad, and I just the Vaughn stuff was kind of getting a little bit soft on me. And but it's I don't think gear really has. I mean, at the end of the day, it's you got to stop the puck. And you know, there was a time there where I wasn't as good as I wanted to be, and I'm glad I was able to you know, be good for the team and get to wins the last couple times I was in.
Like we were talking earlier on our little WhatsApp group about you coming on. I was saying, like, I think it's I can't remember now, Joe, whether I mentioned it was 12-3 in domestic action through 15. And like since the start of December, it's been like 9:45 or something in and around, just slightly less than two goals a game on average. So like the numbers have really got solid since the start of December.
Yeah. It was a good month for me. But you know, that's kind of in the past, and you know, looking forward to the next time that I'm in there to do whatever I can to get a win for the team.
Jonesy, welcome back on. Congratulations on the player of the month. I think it's hugely well deserved for some of the performances and some of the kind of clutch moments that you pulled over the last kind of month or so. Off the ice and away from the ice, obviously you're now kind of midway through your first season overseas, and we're on the other side of Christmas. If we go away from the stress and all the seriousness of hockey for a minute, what was your Christmas like? Did you get some family over? I think I saw your brother in the arena at one point. How was your first Christmas being overseas and obviously being away from home?
It was definitely different. Christmas is always at my house back home. So the grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, everyone's there. There's a huge group. But this Christmas, my brother came out. Both my brothers, my sister Liana, my mom and dad came out. So they were here for probably 2 weeks. On our days off, we went to Galway, experienced that a little bit, went to the North Coast. So we just kind of was nice to, you know, have them in town. And, you know, obviously, like, Belfast is now my home. But, you know, it's always nice to have, like, you know, your family from home come out to see you. And, you know, I have my fiance here with me as well. So it's nice that she's she's here, but it's nice to have, like I said, people from home come out and visit you, and especially spend the holidays and Christmas with you.
Yeah, and it's lovely to have them over and be here. It's special for them as well to see you doing what you do over here in front of a massive crowd who obviously has your back. I'm sorry, I have to ask about your brother whenever you're on the podcast. Your brother Nolan Jones traded to the Colorado Rockies in November. How's he doing? What are his kind of aims and ambitions for the season ahead? Do you think he's going to work his way back into the bigs?
There's a hockey podcast, yeah?
Yeah, just give me a minute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's doing good. He's excited to be with the Rockies. You know, obviously, you know, he was with Cleveland for, you know, 7 years, I think it was. So we had a lot of relationships with those guys and stuff. But he's excited for opportunity and a chance to, you know, play in the MLB again and be an everyday big leaguer.
Just, it doesn't seem fair that the talent that was handed out when the Jones boys were being born compared to me, Paddy. It's just not right.
Is it your sister plays softball as well? Is
she? You're right. Yeah.
He plays D1 softball, Penn State. And then my little brother, Andrew, he just turned 19. He plays D3 baseball at Immaculata University, which is like right outside of football. So.
I mean,
I doubt you've heard of the Neville family, but it sounds a bit like the Nevilles. It does with like Gary and Philip Neville and Tracy Neville all playing top level sport. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, we're very fortunate. We're very fortunate to have an athletic family. You know, my sister, she's probably the most athletic. She's a softball player. She's, you know, vicious and everything. But it's been good growing up in an athletic family that, you know, we're all able to help each other, support each other. In the summer, I always go to Nolan's games. You know, when I go home, I'll be going to Penn State to see my sister Liana play softball, my brother Andrew play baseball. They watch all our games online, and, you know, like having them here is awesome. So it's a cool little thing that, you know, connection that you have with your siblings. But it was nice to have them here for sure.
Why is it then that they, sorry, just briefly, why is it then that they've progressed with bat and ball, but you're on the ice?
Honestly, hockey was never in my family, and my dad took me to a Flyers game when I was like 4 years old. His one of his buddies gave him tickets, and I fell in love with it and fell in love with goaltending. And then Nolan played hockey as well. Andrew played hockey. My sister Liana played field hockey, and they just all chose baseball. Like, I come from a pretty big baseball football family. We all played football as well. My mom wasn't a huge fan of that, with like all the hitting and everything, and kind of eased us away. And even me being a goalie, she was she was pretty hesitant about it, but it was my my dream, my passion, and so she let me follow through with it. But yeah, only one hockey guy, and the rest are playing softball and baseball.
Fantastic. We're gonna go to a couple of ones from Twitter. We got CM here saying, my question for Jonesy is, what was his favorite part about Belfast, Northern Ireland, since moving here?
That's a good question. The golf's been cool, I will say. I played Royal County down twice. I'm looking forward to play some more courses. We play Hollywood a bunch. The golf's definitely been cool. I think another thing, just like experiencing a different culture. You know, I lived in a bunch of different states in America playing hockey. But you know, kind of like every state is similar, but just moving out to different areas, you know, like coming to Europe, like driving on the left side of the road, right side of the car, like that was a big difference. I feel like, you know, like things are a little smaller here. The foods can be different, you know, sometimes like the breakfast and stuff. So I think just like experiencing something new and being able, like I said, my fiance's here, being able to do it with her, I think that's definitely the coolest thing. I don't think there's like one thing in Belfast, obviously, besides Knights of the SSC that, you know, have really like, that are like my favorite, but I just, you know, there's a bunch of stuff here that I really like, and it's been an awesome experience so far.
One from Kevin Madden. Would you rather face a longer 3-on-3 overtime or penalty shots?
Oh man.
Not
longer in 3-on-3. Would you rather face a longer period of 3-on-3 overtime?
I thought you said, or would you rather go penalty shots?
Longer, you can change it. Would you rather face longer in 3-on-3 overtime?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Ask him how he did today in the shootout of practice. Not
really nice. Breakfast on longer, is it?
Oh, that's a good question. Honestly, like probably a shootout, because I look at a shootout as like it's me versus the shooter, right? Like it's one of us has got to win, and you know, I'm gonna do everything I can to be the guy to win that. You know, in a 3-on-3, like there could be a 2-on-0 odd man rush where it's a backdoor pass and the goalie doesn't have a chance. I feel like a shootout, it's, you know, goalie versus player, like everything's even. It's just whoever's going to win, one makes a save or one scores, you know.
And like one we've got here from Daniel Bowers, which is asking about the addition of Tyler Beskarowani. Obviously brings extra competition for the slot. Is that driving you forward?
Honestly, I've always been the kind of guy that, you know, I go to the rink every day, work hard, do my job, and try and save the puck and be a good teammate to the guys around me. You know, regardless of if I'm in net, Wiss is in net, Besko's in net, or Dicko's in net, like I'm going to be the biggest fan and cheer for them, want them to win. You know, having Besko there has been awesome. He's a great guy. But, you know, for me, nothing really changes. I'm going to, you know, when I'm called upon, I'm going to go in there and, you know, do the best I can and try and get a win for the team. And when I'm not, I'm, you know, going to be there supporting those guys and, you know, working hard to be ready for the next time that I am called upon.
Peyton, my last question was going to be something similar along that line. It's just that the dynamic, how much fun has it been working with like Dicko and Wiss so far? And you and Wiss have obviously, Wiss has had slightly more games, not that many more. So you've sort of one for one, you've been going. And then Besko obviously coming in for a young guy like yourself, having someone with the experience of many leagues around the world that Besko's had and winning championships and being an assistant coach, just having that experience to lean on and learn from.
It's been awesome. I mean, like the first day he was here, we're talking about different goalie coaches we've had, you know, what we learned from them, what mentally, physically, like what, you know, what they took from him, the impact they left. And then, you know, Wiss is just a great dude. Dicko is the man. I love him. He's great. I love chatting it up with him. The other day we were watching darts on the bus. Like just, he's a good dude. I love having Dicko around. Just, you know, talking. How you doing, mate? Like, just, you know, always checking.
You know, I go around and play in Joel's room there. He's just put his dartboard up so you can go invite in, have a
anybody
room.
Who wants to.
Come hey, the here. First game I ever played Dicko in darts, I beat him. So if you guys talk to him, ask him about that as well.
You know what? He will not have taken that well either. Like he styled it out, but he was pissed.
Coming from me who's never played darts, that was a big win for me.
That's that Jones DNA, man.
He was quite surprised. I was asking the rules as we were playing.
That's such a tough look for Dicko, man.
Yeah, that was a tough loss for him. But maybe I shouldn't have said that. He's going to kill me tomorrow if he hears this.
Yeah, we're going straight to him with that. David, do you have any follow-ups?
No, Joel, don't mate. No.
Sorry, just one more for me. You're just an interesting guy to chat to in general. But look, I don't profess to be an expert when it comes to goaltending in ice hockey or in the Elite League. But one thing that I guess maybe that I've noticed, I don't know whether it's something you've developed or have been working on, or I've just picked up on it, but over the last month, it seems to correlate with these kind of showstopper performances that you've been putting in. I feel like you play aggressive almost. You're very decisive when it comes to breakaways, whenever somebody's bearing down on you. You're not afraid to come out and get in a player's face. Is that something that you've been conscious of, that you've been working on, or is it just something that I'm seeing for the first time?
That's actually pretty good for a non-goalie guy to see.
Let's go.
Yeah, that's big. I mean, I don't know if it was like a huge change, but something that I did notice in my video that I was watching is that, probably a month or two ago, I was finding myself a little deeper in the net. And that's just something that, it's hard because you have to kind of like feel it out. But there were plays where, I was like, maybe I can take a step out there. So then in practice, when I was working on different situations, I was kind of like trying to get even further outside of that. So
yeah,
a little further outside my comfort zone. So then when the game came, even if I wasn't that far out, I was still further than I was before, if that makes sense. So I was like, more comfortable at that depth, we call it, in the goaltending world. But for me, I think that it's just, like getting out, like I'm a big body, just getting out, like taking up net and, trusting my instincts and, my feet, my speed, that I'm able to, get across and make, some of those saves. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's, goaltending is just about, doing everything you can to keep the puck out of the net. And sometimes not the prettiest of ways, but if you, just try to do whatever you can to keep it out. And I've been just, trying to do that and get wins for the team. So.
Listen, mate, we really appreciate you coming and joining us. One more thing before you go. Obviously, we've got the two games coming up against the Nottingham Panthers. Do you guys know, obviously, we've got a wealth of goalkeeping to select from here. Your preparation is no doubt going to be the same. Are you able to, do you know when you're playing, or is it a last-minute decision?
Yeah, Kiefer will usually let us know later on in the week. It all depends. It's just whenever I guess he feels, but like I said, for me personally, I've always been, always prepare like you're playing because, you never know, something, just one of the other guys that's supposed to start could get sick and then you got to jump in the game. And, so I've always been the guy, prepare like you're playing all week. Like I said before, and, go to the game. If you're not playing, be the number one cheerleader for the guy who is and for your teammates out there. And if you are, go out and try and do your thing.
Great. Do you ever,
sorry to jump in, Paddy. I find sports, the psychology of that, quite interesting. How you keep yourself up. So like you prepare all week like you're playing. And now the dynamic, you might not even be backing up. You could, could be best going west or whatever. And you say you'll be the number one cheerleader. I've seen it in the Friendship 4, actually. One of the goaltenders came out and got pulled after like a period, and he stood on the by the bench, and he was the number one cheerleader. Like every goal that went in, every big save, he was so positive. As soon as the Quinnipiac, whenever the one first player on the ice to the other goaltender, is that just a mindset that you can put? Because there's got to be disappointment as well inside that you want to play every single game every night.
Yeah, I mean, you do want to play every game every night, but for one, that's not possible. But I will say, for example, for like a game where I would get pulled in Coventry when we won, obviously when I got pulled after the first period, I wasn't happy. Like, I'm not happy to give up three goals and get pulled. Like, that's the reality of the thing. Any goalie who tells you he's happy to give up three goals and get pulled, like, they shouldn't be a goalie, right?
Yeah.
So there's the moment in time where like you're pissed off and you're like, this sucks. Like, I don't, whatever. But then, that's 5-10 minutes. Then you go out for the second period when you're on the bench. And like I said, at the end of the day, you have to get a win, and you're down whatever it was, 3-1. Like, I was cheering for Wiss to go out and get us a win, and, supporting the guys and on their way to do that. So, like I said, I'm not happy to get pulled or to not play, but at the end of the day, that's the coach's choice. That's out of my control. Like, my dad always says to me, like, control what you can control. And, when I'm in the net, do everything I can to be the best that I can be. But, when I'm not, cheer on that guy, because, I know what it's like to be a goalie, and I know what that other person's going through. And, it's especially going into a game, like it's not easy. And when I, like when I got pulled in Coventry, like I felt bad for Wiss because you're sitting on the bench for a period, 20 minutes in that rink, freezing, and then you're getting cold. You got to go in the game. Like it's not easy. Like it is, it is hard. Like it is, let me tell you, sitting on the bench for 20 minutes and then having to go in the game and go get a win is not easy. So like I said, there's that moment in time where you're not happy because you got pulled and you let your team down and stuff. But then there's, you know, you switch to that mindset of, hey, like we got to get a win and I'm going to cheer for Wiss and, you know, hope that he can pull it out for us and that the guys can, you know, get a couple goals, get us back in it. We can find a way to win. So,
yeah. Cheers for that.
Fantastic. Listen, mate, we've taken up more than enough of your time tonight. We really appreciate you joining us. Hopefully we'll get to see you between the pipes this weekend and best of luck going forward.
Sounds good. Thank you guys for having me. It's good to see you.
Thanks, Julesy. Cheers.
Thank you.
Massive thanks to Peyton Jones. Great attitude. You know, I have to say, like, that's, we're seeing some really good things coming through on Twitter. People making comments about, you know, his attitude, the way he's doing, the way he's putting it forward. And I think the attitude of the guy, the way he approaches the game, the psychology that you've pointed out there, Davey, very, very impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, personally, I probably have a, you know, you think you've got a strong mindset until something comes along and just upsets your balance. And like I know as I get older and, you know, maybe have him pick for football or whatever on Saturday and he'll say, you know, he can turn it around in sort of 20 minutes, deal with it there in the present and then, you know, sort of move on. I can't, it ruins my week. You know, I can hold on to that hot coal and it's not good for you. It's just interesting. It's interesting as well. We've had, yes, there'll be times the goaltender lets the team down, but there'll be times the defense lets the goaltender down. And we've pulled goalies a few times this season and we spoke on the podcast about it during the week and said, well, that wasn't necessarily the goaltender. That was a wake-up call from Adam Keefe to the whole team, not just the two D-men partnerships, but the whole team that you've got to step up your game here, lads. So, yeah, really interested in the psychology of that. Super guy and really, really glad he won Player of the Month.
Absolutely, very well deserved. Just a bit of a hello to a good friend of us all, Mr. Kenny Bickerstaff, who was messaging me during that interview, and basically saying how good and so that he's properly motivated and switched on to the team. It's something that you really, really love to see, Joe.
Yeah, 100%. Davey's 100% right. Well, I was going to say it's the difference between me and a professional athlete. It's one of the many, many differences between me and a professional athlete. But I like to always jam it in when we're doing our game analysis, and partly because I'm terrible at reading the X's and O's and I'm not a great hockey mind, but also because those intangibles make up such a big part of success within a team, success within a room. You know, it would be easy to jump to the narrative that, oh, new goaltender comes in, everyone else is threatened, whatever else. Proper team guys who care about the team and care about the mission, I guess are willing to kind of roll with that and be useful where when they're called upon and stay ready the rest of the time. Just a real, I think the guy's gonna have an unreal career. You know, he's still very young. I think he reminds me of the young kids that you see in the Friendship 4. You can always tell when you go and do, you guys will know as well, when you go and do Friendship 4 post-game interviews, you can always tell the young players that are destined for bigger things. They just, the way they carry themselves, the way they speak, their mindset, their personality, it's beyond their years. And I've had that sort of sense of Peyton since he joined the Giants. I'm a big fan of his. I think he's going to have a great career. Hopefully in Belfast, but probably around the world, you know. But anyway,
big thanks to him for coming on. I always love that sort of those comparisons, Joel, you know, between you and a professional athlete. It's like me, you know, between me and Kenny Dalglish together, we have 102 international caps. If you add them together, we have 102 international caps, me and Kenny Dalglish.
As we did at the Friendship 4 at our impromptu AVFTP. Me and Aaron Murphy have covered 5 Olympic Games. You know,
phenomenal, Davey. Phenomenal. Very true. You have to tip your cap.
Very, very true. Very, very true. Right. Before we get to the news, Joel, there was a bit of Belfast Giants news that took place in the last few days, and that was the addition to the roster of Henrik Eriksson, a 27-year-old center and winger from Sweden. He's joining us from Lillehammer. And I think he said, we did invite him to come on the show today. He's had a very busy day today. There's a bit of registration and stuff that had to take place today. So unfortunately, I think it's unfair. It's now 10 to 10 that we ask him to come on now. But hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we are able to join it. He is able to join us. But his stats at Lillehammer were 30 points. That's 14 goals, 16 assists across 29 games. And we were talking last week about, you know, Davey, about Tyler Bescarawani and whether it was he the right player to come in. Well, we were looking for maybe a goal scorer or a defensive player. We don't, okay, not a defense. This isn't a defensive player. This is a goal scorer. I think it's ironic that we've brought this guy in now when we see the likes of Ari and stuff who are, you know, stepping up and scoring. We're seeing a little bit more of depth of scoring over this week. But apart from that, Eriksen looks like a great addition.
Wake up call, isn't it? It's yep. you've no longer got you don't have chances if you're not playing well. You're not contributing. You'll be sitting watching now. Once everybody's fit, obviously Donovan Nyes came in and took a bit of a knock. Gabe Bast didn't play on Sunday night, so I don't know what the status of those players is going forward in this weekend. But once everybody's fit, we'll be carrying those extra guys. So it means if you're not contributing, you're not playing. We talked last week about the not getting the depth in scoring. Darek Angeli comes up with a goal fed by David Gilbert. David Gilbert scores. Darek Angeli leads the team in shooting for the season. 12 shots, I think he had on goal on, I'm going to say Saturday night. It might have been Saturday or Sunday. I can't remember. I think it was Saturday. So, you know, he's grasped the net all there and said, I'm going to have to step up. And that goes right through the roster. Tyler Soy's obviously out injured at the minute. He'll be looking to come back in as soon as he's fit again. So these guys who are in the bottom six, if you like, the top six have been scoring and scoring consistently pretty well through the season. That Mark Cooper back with Lewis Hook and Ben Lake has been great. Like Ben Lake at the weekend, we've waxed lyrical there a wee bit about you know, Lewis Hook doing so well and different players doing really well. Ben Lake created so much space, created so many chances for the guys by working hard, getting, recycling the puck, retaining the puck, giving the puck to the D and just letting them do their thing. So like he's been really good. So that top six has been really, really strong. The bottom six is where we've talked about it week on week. We weren't getting the third line score and we're getting the fourth line score. And in this last couple of games or last couple of weeks, when we have been up against it, those guys have came up with goals. So, you know, they're on their notice, if you like. And I don't mean that in terms of you're going anywhere. I just mean they're on notice that there are other guys here coming in, looking to play, and who are coming in with CVs as well, like Angeli and Gilbert and Soisy. And all these guys came in, and we've talked about it ad nauseum through the winter. They've all came with CVs. They're all in this roster for a reason. They've all been picked by Belfast, by Steve Thornton, by Adam Keefe for a reason. They have none of them that aren't scoring have become bad players. They have to stick with the process and believe in themselves that what they've done so far in their career is why they've got to this point in their career and keep going. But now they have someone else to contend with, and that's pro sports. And, you know, it's kind of made the best man win because we need the best man on the ice to, you know, be provided.
Interestingly, looking at some of the statistics, Joel, you know, in the second level of Norwegian hockey, which I'm sure is quite high as it is, but he's scoring more or less two points a game, you know, 55 points from 25 games in 2021, and in 2020 he had 60 points off 29 games. You know, the guy knows where the goal is and he knows how to provide.
You're probably looking at a mid-season pickup there with Pekanić numbers. I don't know if that's a hot take or not, but you're bringing a guy to slot into the top line with Pekanić numbers. And from his chats to the press this week and the interview in the Bell Tell today, it could be someone like David Goodwin and like other players that we've had in the past that is a mid-season pickup that becomes a cornerstone of a successful hockey team. I don't think he made much of a secret about, you know, looking for a home, looking for somewhere to play his hockey. So I hope and pray that everything just falls into place for him here in Belfast and that he decides to stick around. If you can build your team around a top line with that kind of points production, you're always going to be successful. And a really quick point just on the wider sort of there's a lot of stick and a lot of muck gets thrown around whenever teams are, you know, going to the market mid-season and players and whatever else. And rightly so. That's easy. That's easy fodder for the other teams for whatever. But the thing to me, the takeaway for me is that the ownership of the Belfast Giants has associated success on the ice with success in the business of the Belfast Giants, and that sounds so obvious. Sports team being successful means that they're going to generate income. Sounds so obvious. Look around the league. Not everyone has learned that lesson. Not everyone is brave enough to invest. Not everyone's brave enough to make the jump and say, look, let's go for it. If we need tools here to bring silver to this barn, let's go and find it. And I think in the footfall, in the numbers through the doors over Christmas, and the investment in the facilities, and the ongoing, I would say, growth or resurgence of the Belfast Giants over the past 5 years. It has come because Robert Fitzpatrick, the Odyssey Trust, and the coaches, Steve, whoever, have not been afraid to invest in the on-ice product. And fans aren't stupid. You know, they talk about people coming for a night out, yes, whatever else, but I'm not paying to come watch the Giants get stuffed. You know, I want to see a team that's going to be up there winning championships every year. It's a lesson in sport that so many different teams haven't learned, and I'm just glad that we have an ownership group brave enough to put their eggs in the basket and see what happens.
And
go
put people off ice in positions who get the club. Like people who are out there earning the money to put the players on the ice.
Yep, that's it. And it comes with sponsorship as well. You know,
I think you all know who I mean.
Yeah, look no further than
big happy birthday.
Yeah,
big happy 50th, by the way.
Happy 40th again to Simon Kitchen. But that's it. You've got a guy there who's a Northern Irish hockey lifer. He understood the intricacies of the game long before the Belfast Giants were even a grain of an idea. So if you've got that guy courting sponsors and working those relationships and generating revenue, it's not just the on-ice product, absolutely valid point, but it's putting the right people with the right passion and the right jobs. Anyway.
And I think, but you're absolutely right. You look at the two games that took place in the last week, 5,000 through the door to see the Nottingham Panthers on Wednesday, 5,000 through the door to see the Dundee Stars on Friday. And you know, and that's exactly the way. Yes, we're coming out of the Christmas period, whatever, but that's the way it is. But you look at the game that took place in Nottingham at the first leg, and they got 2,000 in that cavernous barn to watch us in the first leg. You know, but that's because at this moment in time, they're not doing very well, and you know, they're not pulling the results. You know, in the past, we've talked about, you know, bringing in the Sean McMorrows and the Jason Rushtons and having that sort of slapshot approach that, you know, punch-ups put bums on seats. And to an extent, that is true, but nothing puts bums on seats more than a successful team.
Nothing.
If you're winning championships, people like to see success, and success breeds more success. And, Henrik Eriksson has come in, and we'll see what comes from it. Julie, time for some news.
Yeah, let's go real quick. This past week in the Viaplay Elite Ice Hockey League on Thursday, the Cardiff Devils downed the Sheffield Steelers 3-1 in Wales in the only game of the day. On Saturday, the Guildford Flames travelled to Nottingham, needing the shootout to secure their 2 points on the road. The Glasgow Clan were beaten 3-2 at home by the Manchester Storm. More on that in a second. And the Fife Flyers made the Steelers work for it, with Sheffield coming away from the Kingdom of Fife with a 3-2 victory. On Sunday, the Clan travelled to Coventry, losing 4-1 to the Blaze at the Sky Dome. The Storm returned home to lose 4-1 to the Devils at the Drizzle Dome, and the Flames did the double with a 5-4 win over the Panthers back at the Spectrum, sending them back to the top of the standings. And just on that note, Paddy, for those of you keeping score, that was 4 losses in a week for Corey Nason's Nottingham Panthers, 3 in the league, 1 in the cup, and they picked up a single point from that shootout loss at home to the Flames. Cup semi-final dates. I don't know if you've seen this on the EHL website. The dates for the semi-finals of the 2023 Viaplay Challenge Cup have been agreed and confirmed. Semi-final one, in no other league would you get a cup semi-final round taking nearly a month. The 18th of January, Guildford versus Belfast at 7:30. That's at the Spectrum. 25th of January, we host the Guildford Flames at 7:00 at the SSE. And the other semi-final, 25th of January, Fife hosts Sheffield at 7:30 and the 15th of February. So your first semi-final is on the 18th of January, and the second one is on the 15th of February, Sheffield versus Fife at 7:30. Their aggregate scoring over two legs, again, home and away series, and the highest seed remaining in the final has the option of hosting it. So also that to play for. The date for the final will be confirmed in due course. This is the part where I've been looking forward to this one, actually. I know there's going to be hot takes. We got some dops this week. Obviously, Craig Pufford's hit on Will Cullen has generated a lot of chat. Do you have a video, Paddy?
I do have the video. Bear with me. Let's get this video up.
Everybody just chill for a second.
There we go.
So yeah, we've all seen it, I'm sure, by now. You might have to kill the other. Cullen arrives at the loose puck along the boards at the benches in the neutral zone, with Puffer approaching shortly after. As Cullen makes a play on the puck, Puffer elevates unnecessarily, launching up and into a check that makes significant contact with Cullen's head. This is charging. Dobbs also says it's important to note that this is not a case of the player elevating slightly as part of a natural hit. Nor is it a case of a player coming off the ice after contact because of the force of the collision. If Puffer wishes to deliver this check legally, he must stay low and hit through Cullen's shoulder or core rather than elevating upwards and into his head. They say he's not been fined or suspended, and he is effective immediately as of last Thursday, fined and suspended for one game. One game, gentlemen. what are our thoughts?
Can I go first?
Absolutely.
Nonsense. There it is. There, he's off his feet and it's directly to the head. That's a check. That's a check to the head. Like there's you can downgrade it and you could try to put it over. And the key point here, this is charging. It begins as charging. Absolutely, it does. And there's the point that it doesn't become charging because you've elevated into the head of Will Cullen. That's it. You judge it on the check to the head. You do it as a check to the head. You don't downgrade it based on what it started as charging. Nonsense, Davey.
I think I said my piece to use on, I don't know if it was you and Joel or a different WhatsApp group, Paddy, that the rule in the IIHF rule book is that it meets all the criteria for charging until you hit the head. And it's quite clear in the rule book that any contact of the head is then superseded. The charging rule is superseded by hits to the head rule. It was called the check to the head on the night. The officiating team got it cracked on the night. I can only imagine that the fortunate lack of a serious injury to Will Cullen has made them think, well, then we'll give it as small a, you know, a sanction as can. I think they have gone to their tariffs to find the lowest suitable tariff that fits. It's not charging, it's a hit to the head. And if you go to the rule book again, hitting to the head is the rule that applies in this case.
I think that's it, really. Yeah. I think it's just we haven't seen it. We haven't seen Hayden or Herodops for about a month, and they come back with this unbelievable
extended Christmas holiday. Yeah.
So what's your take, Joel?
Yeah, I've seen much bigger bans given, and I don't know. Again, I'm not a smart man. I don't know how much injury is a mitigating factor. So if Will Cullen had,
it's not anymore.
Yeah, so if he had gone down there with a concussion, if he'd have been out indefinitely, we've just seen the best defenseman in the league have to retire, you know, because of head injury. Obviously, different circumstances, but the seriousness of it. I haven't in person. It's been a long time since I've seen a hit that just looked so targeted, launching himself just 2 feet off the ice. Very, very surprised by one game. However, take the situation what it is. Will Cullen's okay, thank goodness. And it was, for me anyway, the spark that turned that game around and put the Belfast Giants into the semi-finals and the Nottingham Panthers out.
Wait, look up. So I've found the WhatsApp group and I found the message sent the other day. And so charging in the IIHF book, it clearly says this rule is superseded by all similar actions regarding an illegal hit to the head. They literally say in their PR that it's a hit to the head and he elevates and blah, blah, blah. They repeat again and again, it's a hit to the head, but we will ignore actually. Am I asking for whoever made this decision to clarify? No, because they're not going to. But they've left enough grey area, which is what I suppose gives us something to talk about as well.
But,
you know, yeah. You know, it keeps Twitter alive. It keeps podcasts alive. But, you know, it's a hit to the head. And,
God bless, you
know, it. We took that time before. We can do it again.
Anyway, we shall move on, boys. A couple of bits and we'll wrap up. Now, gentlemen, my favorite thing possibly this season, never let it be said that the Viaplay Elite League isn't an incubator of pure innovation. The Paddy Dwyer butt goal, Derek Campbell taking a penalty shot into his own face, the Joe Grimaldi stump. Well, this week saw the boundaries get pushed further than ever before. You're 3-1 down. There's 10 minutes to go. You scrape 3-2 one down. Back. Oh, you're 3-1 down in the with 10 to go.
Oh, sorry.
And then you scrape one back in the 58th minute. Desperate times call for desperate measures, boys. And I don't know why, of the great coaches that have lived throughout generations, why nobody's ever thought of this. Just pour 7-out skaters onto the ice and catch your tying goal, Paddy. For those who can't see it, the Glasgow Clan were absolutely enraged that this was called that this was washed off and that a too many men call were given with seven out skaters. Paddy, you said it on Twitter. It makes it even funnier that they're all celebrating.
They're all celebrating. It's like, yeah.
Seems busy on here, boys, but either way, fantastic.
What I don't get is, like, I need to watch the video back of this. If you look in the picture, the guy down in the bottom left, like, you can see how many players are out there,
mate. You can see everyone.
You can count them. What do you do? You think to yourself, there's something wrong here. But surely, surely, when they did the celebration and they huddled and then skated past the bench, they went, oh.
There's nobody here.
Why is there like a million of us? What's going on here? Why is there nobody on the bench?
Just an absolutely wonderful moment.
Have we ascertained, did they even pull the goalie?
Oh, possibly. There may have been a goalie gone.
So
there might be it in the ice.
Yeah, there might be it. There might be
somebody who was at that game. Let me know if there was a goalie.
I assume what's happened here is they've pulled the goalie and they've accidentally put two players on instead of one. There's been a bit of a mix up. But it's
one had gone and then the goalies came off.
The goalies come off and then somebody went, oh, the goalies come off. I better get on.
But, never let rhyme and reason get in the way of a really funny photo, though. That's one of the biggest laughs.
You're exactly right, Joel. This is one of the photographs. This is one of the issues. Like in 10 years' time, and you're lately, they'll go, do you remember when McLaren thought they'd scored, but they'd seven? That's on the ice, and they were all celebrating.
I had a real good time with that. Anyway, sorry. And finally, and then I'll shut up. Special congratulations to Dan Ciampini. I don't know if you saw this. According to the Sheffield Star this week, scored 2 goals and 3 assists last Saturday as the Sheffield Steelers beat the Fife Flyers. You might be thinking, solid shift. Congrats to the kid. You have to tip your cap. What's even more incredible is that they only scored 3 goals. So 3 assists and 2 goals in a 3-goal game.
Well done, Bob.
Wayne Gretzky could never. Dan Ciampini, tonight's show is dedicated to you. What a shift from the big man. And that is
what a shift. Well done, Bob Westerdale. 3 goals scored. 3 goals scored, but 5 points dished out to one player.
Anyway.
Nice one, Joel. Thanks for that. We're going to wrap up just a quick chat. Then Belfast Chance take on... Who do they take on? The Nottingham Panthers this weekend in a doubleheader at the SSE Arena. Friday, 7 p.m. and Saturday at 7 p.m. at the SSE. Nottingham Panthers, and if you can't get down there, Giants TV. Is this the first doubleheader for a single team this season? Like at home?
No.
We had a
0-point weekend. Against the Storm.
Manchester Storm. You're absolutely right. Well done.
So, Joel. Yes, it is the first doubleheader against a single team. Yep.
Nottingham Panthers on a bit of a poor run of form at the minute. Not many wins over the last 10 games, which Davey is no doubt delighted by. But what optimism again, Davey, I'll go to you on this. What optimism do you take from the performance that we had against them last Wednesday?
Yeah, I think that the away leg in the Challenge Cup, we showed that, you know, attrition got against us. I think the lack of bodies caught up with us that game, but we could have won it. The league game away, had there been another couple of minutes in the game, and we were really short that night, had there been another couple of minutes, we'd have won it. We beat them handsomely at home the other night. Make no mistake, after that first 15 minutes where we pretty much were on penalty kill duty for the whole of the first 15 minutes of the game, We give up 6 shots through the last 40 minutes of that game. Now, how much was that down to the Nottingham Panthers thinking, oh, we're 3 goals up here, let's shut it down? Because you said whenever they scored that second, great, we'll just have to watch 40 minutes of trap now. And how much they... And then once Joel talked about it earlier, momentum's a big thing in hockey. Once you take your foot off the gas, it's sometimes very, very hard to get it back on again. Now, I think that they were gifted a bit of a start on last Wednesday night. But I think in the second period, we showed what a good hockey team we are. And as you say, with the new Rickard Palmberg coming in, Henrik Eriksson coming in this weekend, and hopefully Gabe Bass back in the lineup, other bodies fit, selection headaches for Adam Keith, good selection headaches, and he's got that very difficult selection headache between the pipes as well. Both guys going really well. The minute Besko coming back in, so you know these are all positive things which will give the coach good headaches. This team's built for success. I hope I'm not scudding anything there. We have shown over the last month what a good, resilient, strong character hockey team we are. And now as bodies get fit and competition comes within that roster, you need to be seeing the elite guys step up. And like, you look at the plays Scott Conway, some of the plays Scott Conway made over the weekend, you talk about Ben Lake, Hookie, Steve Ari with some unbelievable players, David Goodwin, you talked about his players, we've talked, all the jigsaw pieces are there just to make this puzzle. So I don't want to say too much more. Excited for the weekend games coming up.
Six losses in the last 10 games for the Nottingham Panthers. Joel, I listened to our friends at the Cat's Whiskers, and they had a podcast there the other night, and they were talking about, you know, what needs to change and what they need to bring in. And there was the call from bringing in players. And the fact that we've brought in Henrik Eriksson, you could see, like, on Twitter, some of the Panthers fans just linking to that, saying, hello, wiki, wiki, Nottingham, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, we need changes. And they're on this bad run of form at the minute, which is fantastic. But, you know, it's interesting as well, because a lot of them talk about, you know, Corey Nielsen has come in to try to turn around that group of players that Gary Graham brought in, but doesn't seem to be given the opportunity to bring so far to bring in his own guys. The Giants should be going into this weekend optimistic and motivated.
They should, but the game is not played on paper, and you know, we've been burned by those kinds of takes before. Not an easy fixture whenever the Giants play the Panthers. They're not playing good enough right now. They're not good enough as an organization. Although rebuilds don't happen overnight, what an incredibly hard thing to try and excavate an organization, a team, even a psychology, coaching staff that isn't working, and even right from the top to our former friend Omar Pasha, to try and install a brand new band.
No, to be fair, I don't think we should ban him. His text to say is traveling. He apologizes and he'll come on the next time. So. but on that, Joe, I really think that we've got to be so disciplined. I know that's cliches. 5-on-5, and I don't say this with Matthias backs on, we are the best team I have seen this season in the league. 5-on-5. We could have been better in the penalty kill. We could be better with the extra man, but 5-on-5, we are a supreme team in this league. And, you know, discipline, staying 5-on-5 or better is what we need this weekend.
Yeah, don't have a lot more to add, Paddy. The Panthers' room wasn't built in a day. It's going to take them a while. Listen, if you want to win the league title once every 60 years, you have to be doing better. You have to be more consistent. So hopefully maybe by the 2050s, they'll have found a run again.
That's the games this Friday and Saturday. Belfast Giants versus the Nottingham Panthers at the SSE Arena. And if you can't get to those games, you should be getting to those games. But if you can't get to those games, a bit like myself, Giants TV is the place that you will find them with the 50-year-old Mr. Simon Kitchen.
Oh, 40 again.
Happy birthday. 48 again. Doesn't look a day under 50. congratulations to him. Any other business, boys?
No, sir. Happy birthday, Sis. That's a big one. Hope you had a great time.
Absolutely. Do you have anything from you? No?
No.
On that note, then, let's wrap things up. Big thanks to Peyton Jones for coming on and joining us. Really enjoyed the chat we had with him, and congratulations on the Player of the Month. Big thank you to everybody who voted. We had 667 votes in the Player of the Month vote in the poll this month. And a big thanks, of course, to Phonocab for sponsoring that award. Belfast Giants, Nottingham Panthers, Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. And you can get us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, all your podcast providers. Thanks for all those who are tuning in live and sending in your comments, your questions, both here and on Twitter. Mr. McGimsey and Mr. Neil, good to see you.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks very much.
And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Podcast Network.